Thanks for joining us today for our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
If anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand. We'll place a Bible in your hand. We are going to be in Exodus chapter 20. So go to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to begin here with a little bit of a rabbit trail. It's kind of what I do sometimes. So here in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments have been given. God's speaking to the people from Mount Sinai for all to hear. So everybody hears his voice as he gives the Ten Commandments. Now, the interesting thing is the word Sinai, Mount Sinai, wilderness of Sinai. The Hebrew word, it's pronounced Sinai, okay? And there is no derivation of this word. There's no origin of this word. It's not a Hebrew word, okay? So there's no meaning to it. We don't know what the meaning is, okay? And so, before they got to Mount Sinai, they traveled through the wilderness of sin, as we see in Exodus chapter 16. And so, in order to get to Mount Sinai, you got to go through the wilderness of sin. This Hebrew word sin is actually a Hebrew word, and they pronounce it seen. And again, no derivation. There's no origin of this word. It's not the same word as sin, as in doing something wrong. That is chataat, okay? And that means sin, offense, doing something wrong. We see that all through the Old Testament, okay? That does have a meaning, and it means doing something wrong. That is not the same word when you see the wilderness of sin. That's not the same word. It's a different word altogether. Now, if you're going through the wilderness of sin to go to Mount Sinai, which neither of these places have Hebrew origins in the way of their meaning and things like that. However, we do see that this mountain of God, Mount Sinai, is also called Horeb or Korav, and it means desert or desolate. So that's used interchangeably with God's word, the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, Mount Horeb, same word, okay, or I should say the same area. So it's kind of used interchangeably there. Now, it's interesting to me that this word sin, the wilderness of sin, Mount Sinai, where do those words come from? Where do those words come from? Well, Alfred Lucas, a chemist who lived in Egypt from 1900 to 1949, wrote a book called The Route of the Exodus. He says that the sin of wilderness of sin is almost certainly derived from the Babylonian moon god called Sin. Here's a picture right here. Anytime you see any sort of hieroglyphics or any sort of drawings and things like that with a dude sitting down and a crescent moon over him, that speaks of the moon god Sin. Okay? That speaks of the moon god Sin. He always is seen with a crescent moon above him. He's the god of light. He illuminates the night with light. Also the god of cattle and dairy products, since the bull had horns that displayed the crescent moon. And so this god would also make cows and herds abundant. Okay. The facts tell us that the most ancient civilizations were polytheistic. Throughout the Middle East, the moon god Sin was regarded as one of the many deities, but in many areas, the chief deity. In cities like Haran in Mesopotamia, as well as Ur in Babylonia, which is located in southern Iraq. So you have Ur and you have Haran up here. Should remind you that this is where Abraham came from, Ur, as he traveled to Haran and then into the promised land, okay? And so here in Haran and Ur, guess what the chief deity was at that time? The moon god, Sin. The moon god, Sin. Now, this next map here shows us that here again is Ur, here is Haran. And if you go down into this area here of Arabia that we also know is Midian, there's a little town here called Tema, which is today is called Tema. It's still there today, okay? And during the time of Moses, this was here. And so it's in this town that is today called Tema, here in Midian, and in various places in Midian and South Arabia, that the principal god, again, the chief deity was the moon god Sin, worshipped above all other gods. And so this moon god Sin was just one of many false gods that Babylonians worshipped. However, the moon god Sin was the principal god that they worshipped there in Haran, in Ur, as well as down there in Midian, okay, and in southern Arabia. James Montgomery, who was a professor of Hebrew and Aramaic at the University of Pennsylvania, states in his book, Arabia and the Bible, there stands out in southern Arabia a definite triad of highest deities, moon, sun, and the morning star Venus. This astral triad held worshipful fascination. However, it was the moon god, Sin, that held preeminence over them all. Now, it might seem a little strange to choose the chief god among the heavenlies when you have the sun, when you have Venus, when you have Jupiter, all these other ones that shine so brightly. However, in the Middle East, you have to realize something. During the day, it gets what? Very hot. Very hot. Okay? So the people of the deserts, guess what? The sun was considered harsh, cruel, a scorching light, whereas the moon, especially in a full moon, was gentle, was very welcoming, and enabled travelers to actually travel at night and find their way at night. And so most Middle Eastern countries at that time had a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar like we have today. So the moon was absolutely central in regulating their lives, and their religious festivals revolved around the moon and the full moon and things like that. And so it was this new light from the new moon that determined the start of each month, with the full moon in the middle of the month, where they would do all sorts of festivals and feasts and things like that. The patriarch Abraham would have known all about moon worship, since Abraham lived in Haran before he crossed over the river Euphrates, following the call of God. He came from Ur and then Haran, and there have been major worship centers that have been found in Ur and Haran, and they are dedicated to the moon god Sin. Here's some massive ruins here. This goes back to 2100 BC. This is how it was found. They eventually fixed it up so it'll look like this, okay? They're thinking this is exactly probably what it looked like before, okay? It's huge. These are people right there. I mean, that's a big area there. And it was at this dig here at Ur that they also found these inscriptions right here, coming up right now. There it is. Remember that guy? Moon god, Sin, crescent. Another one, crescent. I wasn't done. See? Moon god right there. Okay? Now. There. Now. Now. There we go. So here, I showed you what was found in Ur, okay, which is in the area of Babylon, which is north of where the land of Canaan is. Well, southeast, where Midian is, where Moses is at Mount Sinai, which we're kind of going over right now, in that city of Tema, guess what? This cube was found there in Midian, okay? And so I'll show you the two faces of the cube, even though you can kind of see it there, but we'll show this next one that shows the two faces. So again, you see on the left one here the face of the cow with, and there's a crescent moon above it as well. So this is also dedicated to the moon god Sin. On the right side of it here, again, you have the crescent moon there in the horns. Again, this speaks of the moon god Sin, which has been discovered there in Midian. So this whole area, the chief god, they're finding time and time again, all this archaeological evidence at this time of Moses, as well as way before that with Abraham, that the chief deity that was actually worshipped there in all these areas was the moon god Sin. If that's the case, is it any wonder that when they're going through Exodus chapter 16, that all of a sudden they're traveling through a wilderness called what? Sin. Why? Because this is the area that the moon god was to be worshipped. And as they go to Mount Sinai, it is already known that this is where they worship their moon god Sin. So, now, something very fascinating happened in 552 BC. A very most remarkable event happened at Tema, okay, there in Midian, which is well documented in ancient literature. But Nabonidus, the king of Babylon, from 555 to 539 BC, traveled 500 miles to Tema from Babylon, spent 10 of his 16 years of his reign there. Now, why would he do that? And by the way, Nabonidus is the father of Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 9. And everybody's going, where was Nabonidus during the time? Why is Belshazzar the one that's there? Well, he's there because his father is off, and he's in this area of Tema at the time. And so it's interesting that in 1956, an inscription was found that gives the history of Nabonidus and why he went down to Tema. And it's here on this inscription right here. And so this inscription tells us that Nabonidus was devoted to the moon god Sin. It says it right there. You can read that on your own. Gives the rest of the history of who he is. You guys can read that later on today, okay? And it explains that he installed his daughter as the priestess in the temple of Ur, okay? Nabonidus' mother was devoted to the temple of the moon god Sin in Haran. And the temple in Haran needed a makeover. Okay, it was kind of falling apart. It wasn't as nice as some of the other temples. And so Nabonidus was planning to rebuild the temple of Sin in Haran, but was opposed by the priests of Marduk. Marduk was the Babylonian storm god, the god of creation, as this will show you. This is Marduk right here. He's also seen here as the creator of everything, storm god. And so he has a body of a bull, which is the strongest land animal, has the wings of an eagle, which is the greatest bird. And so to show him great, he takes on those characteristics there. And so don't confuse him with this next guy. It would really work well if it went quickly. There we go, Marduk. Don't confuse Marduk, you know, with Marmaduke. All right, so... So anyway, the reason is that Marduk became more popular in Haran. More people worshiping there, even though Nabonidus liked the moon god Sin, all right? And so even though he tried to do that, all the priests and the majority of the people said, no, we're here in Haran. We now worship Marduk. We don't really worship the moon god Sin anymore. And so what Nabonidus does is that he travels to Tema, Midian. Why go there? Well, I would submit to you it's probably because he's very, very dedicated to the moon god Sin. And so he goes to the place where it's still very, very popular, or quite possibly that's where it began, was there in Midian, The worship of the moon god goes all the way back to the Bronze Age. And so that Tema Cube and other discoverers seem to suggest that this was a place that, you know, I mean, it's the wilderness of Sin. It's the area of the moon god. And so, so again, in this Exodus account, knowing all that background, I think that you'll find this next part fascinating. I know I did. Now, it's interesting to me that in the middle of the month, okay, if the beginning of the month begins with the crescent moon, what happens in the middle of the month on the 15th of the month? Full moon. Exactly. Full moon. Okay. Now go to Exodus chapter 16. Now go to Exodus chapter 16. In Exodus 16, verse 1, it says, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt." Why are you arriving in an area that worships the moon god Sin on the very day that is the full moon, when they offer the most sacrifices and offering to their moon god there on the 15th? Why are you showing up on that day? It's interesting. They arrive in the desert of Sin on the precise day of the month when it was a full moon, which was very, very sacred to the worship of the moon god Sin. Yahweh leads his people. Moses comes through, encroaching on an area that is known for worshiping a different god. Chapter 17, it's interesting. Amalek comes and attacks them. Why does Amalek come and attack them? Is it possible that the Amalekites came to worship the moon god Sin in an area that is known to worship the moon god Sin, and then they see this other nation in the area where they need to pass through to worship the moon god Sin, maybe on Mount Sinai? Is that a possibility? I think so. Go over here to Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. "In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, camped in the wilderness, so Israel camped there before the mountain." That's Mount Sinai. "Here we're told they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai, camped before the mountain," meaning before Mount Sinai, "on the same day that they left Egypt." Well, what do you suppose the same day that they left Egypt? What day did they leave Egypt? Passover was on the 14th, right? They killed the lamb and all the firstborn died. And then what does Pharaoh do? He calls Moses and says, "Get out of town." When did that happen? The very next day. That would be the 15th. They leave on the 15th. As a matter of fact, that's made clear in Numbers chapter 33 as they give you a list of when they left Egypt and the different dates. It says in Numbers 33, verse 1, up here on the screen, it says, "These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their starting points. They departed from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. On the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out of boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians." So they leave on the 15th. They arrive in the wilderness of Sin on the 15th, the day of the full moon. They arrive at Mount Sinai also on the 15th in the third month, according to Exodus 19:1, also a full moon. Stephen Langdon, who is professor of Assyriology at Oxford University, wrote a book called Babylonian Menologies and Semitic Calendars. And in his book, he says, "The 15th day of the third month was regarded as a very special day for the moon god Sin." He says that both an early Assyrian calendar and an early Arabian calendar, so Assyria is on the north side of Canaan, Israel, and then Arabia, well, is Midian, and also the east of Israel. Both those calendars tell us that the third month, which corresponds to our May-June months of the solar calendar, was very sacred to the moon god Sin. It's this third month that was known as the month of Sin. Today we know it as June. Anyway, really? That was genius. I'm sorry. You can't accept my nuance, I'm sorry, but anyway. This is, if you were to ask me, I would submit this to you. This is why the Amalekites attacked Israel in chapter 17, I believe. I believe it's very possible they were coming to worship at Mount Sinai in the third month, the month of Sin, and instead encountered these interloping Jews in their land, and so they attack. And certainly this mighty nation of Amalek and their god, the moon god Sin, was much mightier than a bunch of slaves. But they attack, they lose, thus showing the God of Israel is greater than the God of the Amalekites, showing they're greater than the moon god Sin. It's interesting to me that when God releases Israel from Egypt, before he does that, he defeats all the gods of Egypt. He defeats all the gods of Egypt, and then he takes this circuitous route. He doesn't just go from there straight north into the promised land, which most people take, say, with all those people, maybe takes 2 or 3 weeks to get in there. He doesn't do that. He goes a little north, and then he makes a big right, goes east, crosses over the Red Sea into the land of Midian, then goes a little bit more southeast, and goes in the wilderness of Sin in order to bring them to Mount Sinai. And it's kind of like they're right here. Israel's right here. Egypt's right here. We could have just done this, but no, we go this way and over here to where Mount Sinai is. Why? It's a great question. It seems to me that as God takes care of all the false gods in Egypt, he goes more to the east to show his superiority over the gods there east that are going to border Israel. Because, and he already is showing by doing that, that he's greater than the ones up north that also worship the moon god Sin. And so as he brings the people into Israel, he defeats all these false gods before he brings them into Israel, which then he's going to displace and destroy all those nations in Cana that also worship false gods. It seems like God leads his people and shows up on the dates that are very important to this chief deity, the moon god Sin, as if to say, you're no longer going to worship on this mountain. I'm taking over this mountain. And this is going to be now known as the mountain of Yahweh, the mountain of God. I find this fascinating. It's like God is saying there's a new sheriff in town. This mountain that's been used for a millennium for pagan worship is now going to be the mountain of Yahweh, thus shown his power over the nations. This is time and time again called the mountain of God. Mount Sinai is called the mountain of God. And we know this for a few reasons. First, this is where Moses first had his encounter with God. We read in Exodus 3:1, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And so again, it's used interchangeably. Mount Sinai is also called Mount Horeb, okay? We also know when we get done with chapter 21, 22, and 23, we read this in Exodus 24:13. So Moses rode with his assistant Joshua. Moses went up to the mountain of God. Here Moses is at Mount Sinai. He takes his assistant Joshua up to the mountain of God. And so we know that Horeb and Mount Sinai is speaking of the same mountain.
Well, that wraps up this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we dive deeper into our study in the book of Exodus. Fall is here, which means it's time for our annual Harvest Festival. On October 31st, Calvary Castle Rock will be hosting a wonderful free event for the whole family. The night will include carnival games, inflatables, high strikers, face painting, funnel cakes, food, and of course, lots of candy. So come on out and join us from 4 to 8 p.m. October 31st. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.